This is your Right to Rock announcer, Joey Claims, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to another Genghis and Ragman Show interview, where the boys chew the fat with both veterans and newcomers in the industry. So without further ado, I'm going to pour me a pint and kick back as I turn things over to tonight's guest. Take it away.
This is Jorn Lofstad from Pagan Smite, and you're listening to Genghis and Ragman Show Horn Song.
Guy that I'm a huge fan of for many years, Jorn Viggo Lofstad from Pagan's Mind. Give it up. Hey Jorn, how you doing today?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. How are you?
Awesome, man. It's an honor to talk to you. Like I said, I've been a fan of Pagan's Mind pretty much since the inception, and a fan of your work with Jorn Land as well. Your guitar playing is amazing, my friend.
Thank you very much. That's nice to hear. Thank you.
Well, let's get into your newest release that's going to be out this month on the 16th of October, Full Circle. You guys just released this double live album, very impressive, with a Blu-ray and DVD. Tell us kind of your idea behind putting out a live record right now, because I know it's been a while since you guys have done a studio release.
We got asked to do the Prog Power Edition for 2014. And first, we wasn't sure if we were going to play on the main festival or do the pre-party. I mean, we had discussions with both Glenn and Nathan. And we ended up doing the pre-party because then we would get much more time playing. And we were asked to... to do the complete album, you know, Celestial Entrance from A to C, and you know, after deciding to do that and also do yet another set that evening on 1 hour and 25 minutes more, then we talked about maybe this would be a good thing to, you know, to document, you know, and us, we work pretty hard, you know, to prepare those, to prepare that show. So it would be nice to have more people see it than just the people who attended that show. So it kind of built from there. But you're right, it's been 4 years since we released our last studio album, and also we had a live release in 2009. So we were not sure if, you know, are people interested in seeing this, you know. So we basically just, you know, asked on our Facebook page on if people would be interested in another live release from Pagan Spine, and the feedback was really overwhelming, and you know, that went into to doing this Indiegogo campaign, and it was a huge success. And yeah, so it was kind of stone by being built that was as we went along there.
Well, did you run into any sort of trouble with that? I know a lot of people are doing this Kickstarter and Indiegogo thing for albums, and it seems to sort of work out, but I'm sure there are some troubles with the format.
Yeah, it was Gerwin Bakker. He is it's a Dutch guy. He's only about 20 years old. Oh. And he helps our manager Frode Jonsrud a lot with a lot of things with the Facebook page and our website and all that stuff. And it was his idea to do this Indiegogo campaign. And I mean, we had no expectations of, you know, the campaign being that successful. We had no clue about what it would cost to you know, to edit 3 hours of footage almost.
Oh, wow.
and all that stuff. So we just, you know, put our finger up in the air and took a guess if we can get in €20,000, maybe then we have money enough to complete this product. And we reached 33, and it was like, wow, that's really awesome, because I mean, a lot of bands don't get a third of that, you know. But I'm happy that we got that so many people, you know, joined and paid money up front, because we spent every cent. it was much more expensive editing all that film than what we thought in advance. So no, but it was a great success, the campaign, and it was a lot of perks that our fans could choose from.
Well, something you just said a little bit ago, Jord, was, you know, would the fans want to see this? I got to tell you, I wasn't aware of the Indiegogo campaign, but when I saw that you had a new live DVD release, it went right into my Amazon cart because I really enjoyed Live Equation. I thought it was shot very well. It just really flowed well. So I was very excited to hear about Full Circle. And like I said, it's in the pre-order status and went straight to my Amazon cart. So
yeah, cool. Cool. That's nice to hear.
Well, you know what I wonder is, it's a sort of a similar setup, I think, when people interview actors and stuff and they ask them, do you ever watch your own performances? Is there something, do you get anything out of having watched so much footage of yourself? Does that make you think maybe we should do things differently on our next show or something?
Yeah, we have never been, you know, a kind of band with the costumes, and we prepare, you know, okay, Jorn, you have to wear this, and Steiner, you have to wear that. and with, I mean, we're very much a very laid back band. And yeah, it's like I normally wear the clothes on stage that I wear off stage, you know, and we're kind of like that. People can be who they want to be. That's it. But of course, I think that everyone, I know if you watch yourself play something and you look really stupid or something, you, I'm thinking just I'm not gonna do that again. Or
I'll make that face.
Or you do something that was really cool and maybe you do that more than I guess everyone does that, but you know, we don't have a rehearsed act. It's not like when I come to that solo that I'm standing on a do special stuff or I don't know. It's just if we're in a good mood, it's people can see it. You know, it's just an honest performance. It's not that much planned, except you know rehearsing and doing playing well, you know.
Well, just a question, just since this is a live release, and I'm always kind of curious with live releases, you hear all the stories over the years of going in, having to touch up some things here and there, and some guys go for more of a kind of a raw approach where they said, you know what, this is us live, this is what you're going to get when you see us. And with the project that you guys took on with Full Circle, I would think trying to go back and touch anything up would be very challenging with the amount of time of footage and material you have here. Far as producing, is that something you looked at that you said, okay, I was off there a little bit on the note, or do you just go for more of the raw approach and what you see is what you get?
I think we fixed very little. Very little. We had, for example, on set number two, the microphone on the drum on the tom number two, it didn't work. You know, so something happened that you couldn't listen to it. So it sounds kind of stupid that you have a drum fill. It's instead of being da 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 da, it's like da 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 dum. So you don't hear it. So stuff like that, technical stuff, you go and change. And I mean, we keep as much of the appearance or the as much as the of the performance as possible. But of course, what you do is that when you listen to it without having mixed anything, it sounds, you know, even more rough. But when you put it up in the mix and you get the right levels and you know you make a cool sound on the drums and all that stuff, you know, you get more of the feeling again in the mix that you actually had in doing it live. And I think that's why a lot of people also try to fix a lot of stuff, because they want it to sound as good as an album or something, where you sit and you do it over and over and over again until it's absolutely perfect. But to us, that's not what the live performance is about. So this is, in general, what you get going to Pay in Spine show. It absolutely
awesome.
Is. Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, let me ask you this: how tough was it to go back and relearn the whole Celestial Entrance record? And I mean, how much time did you guys have to put in to bringing that to the point where you said, okay, we're ready to go on stage here?
We had some, you know, I don't live in the same area as the other guys, so it's like when we work, it's I have a 6-7 hour drive in the car, you know, to get down to the other guys. Or
wow.
So it's not like we meet up on a Thursday afternoon and a Monday afternoon. It's like we set off a weekend, you know, and then we work more intense. And so we had we decided up front which songs to play. Also, you know, next to the Celestial Entrance, so everyone, you know, prepares and listen to the stuff and just go through it. So you meet up at rehearsal and then you. You kind of know the song before we start to play, and we just had some rehearsals. And we had, I think, we had two sessions with lots of rehearsals on those songs. But what we also did, what took most time, was to put together the. It's an instrumental in set number two, which we have called Full Circle. In generally, you know, that is 17 minutes of really cool parts that we have in songs that we don't play live anymore.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's a kind of the full circle song. It's kind of a Pagan's Mind medley made into a new song.
Awesome.
What we used most time was just, you know, to get that song, you know, right from beginning to end. We had a couple of rehearsals, and then we had a show in our hometown doing the entire gig 1 week before we had the gig in Atlanta. So, you know, then you do the first gig and you, the best rehearsal you can do is to play live. And if you fuck up the first time, you absolutely won't do it if you know that you're doing a live footage afterwards. So you remember the mistakes and you fix them, you know? So, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You guys are playing at Prague Power USA, one of the few specifically Prague metal sort of festivals. I know you guys just did Prague Power Europe last weekend.
We did.
But do you see that? I mean, I don't know how it is for you guys on the artist standpoint. It's because it's sort of more of a niche, I know certainly more in America than Europe, because it's more of a niche sort of genre of music. Do you see that then as sort of, wow, this is like the World Cup, you know, we're getting to play Prague Power USA center stage. This is going to be great. How is it for you guys on your end?
Absolutely. The first time, I mean, I did another interview a couple of hours ago, and I got asked how many times I was played at Prague Power. So I don't, you know. I was the first time in 2003. I was the Reborn on the 6th and Pagan's Mind in 2007 and 2009, and now again in 2014. So it's the fifth time I'm there.
Wow.
But I have to say that the first time we went over in 2003, right after releasing Celestial Entrance, you know, we were just a small band. We had almost never been on tour. We had released Celestial Entrance and we'd started to get international attention and people who wanted to see us to come and play. And we had done a couple of, you know, really big gigs that summer, you know, doing the Sweden Rock Festival in front of 7,000-8,000 people. But it was a very special experience coming to the US for the first time, you know, for guys from Norway to come over to the USA and play, you know, it's a dream come true. It's just the way it is, you know, I'm not trying to hide that. So it was, you know, really great coming over, and we had no idea how we would be received or anything like that. And people, you know, we were really well received, you know, we felt like rock stars for the first time in our lives, and it was an awesome experience, and therefore also, you know, that festival has a very special place in all of our hearts, but of course, as the years have gone by, we have done a lot of tours and we have played a lot of gigs that are much bigger than that festival.
Oh.
But it doesn't. It doesn't. The amount of people you play for is not necessary. You know, the more the better. It's you know, to play in, as you say, it's a niche festival. The people who come there, they're really into progressive music. I think it's a fantastic festival for upcoming prog metal bands. You know, it's a kind of a door opener, at least to the American markets. If you get a gig at that festival, at least, you know, you have a few hundred people checking out a couple of songs that you play, you know, and the word starts to spread, you know, and if you're a good band, more people will, get onto it, you know. So I think that festival and you know, Glenn Harveston and the people around him, they do a lot of good for the progressive genre in general, I think. So yeah, I have nothing but good words to say about the festival and the responsible people for it. Yeah,
well, doing this release the way you did, and you guys raised some money and so forth, and being a big gig whenever you go to Prague Power in the U.S., or any Prog Power for that matter, but was there a lot of added pressure? Was it kind of a one-take scenario, you better shine, or this is our only chance? I know we talked to other bands, and that was the case, so I'm sure it's a big deal. You're probably a little bit nervous coming to play Prog Power in the U.S., but then you had the added pressure of doing this live DVD, and like I said, was it a one-take scenario? And, you know, what was that like?
I think now we are much more experienced. So personally, I didn't think about it that much. If this were in 2007, at that time, you know, we didn't have that much live experience, then it probably would have freaked us out, and we would be totally white in our faces the entire gig, or drank too much up front, or whatever. But we have done a lot of gigs like that. Not you know, the filming and all of that, but I think that we didn't think that much about it. We had focus on it. It's like if you. The thing that makes you play bad is that you have focus on everything else than what you should do, and just think about the song and relax and have fun, because that's what it's all about. If you start to think about, that's that guitar player from that band, he's watching me now, I better play correctly, then you don't have focus on what you're playing. Then you have focus about what that person thinks or everyone else thinks, or you freak out that someone comes with a camera in your face. And if you get up to caught up in those kind of things, you will have a less good performance. But if you just, you know, get into the song and do the thing, it's important for us to do a good job, and we're really focused. But I think just the pressure that we had there was just positive, I think. Just made us play better.
And your playing really is amazing on this album. I love your soloing, and I know that a lot of your influences from a guitar standpoint, I know you've been into guitar for years, and most of them, I think, are English or American. I guess there's not a lot of well-known outside of Norway Norwegian guitarists, except maybe John Norum. So did you find that discouraging growing up, not having necessarily a Norwegian guitar hero, or did that just inspire you to become a Norwegian guitar hero like you are today?
I guess it's not a secret that I'm a fan of Van Halen. I am a big fan of Van Halen, but I'm also a big fan of David Gilmour. You know, yeah. I think a lot of the stuff when, you know, playing melodies and not necessarily play 1,000 notes a minute, but, you know, just have focus on playing really well and get a good tone and stuff like that, I got from him. I would say that we have a couple of Norwegian guitar heroes, one of them being Ronny Letekre from TNT.
Certainly.
And not a lot of people in the world who has a better... He's not known to me, or to me, I was not inspired by his solos. I was inspired by his rhythm guitars, you know, just really ding, ding, and tight and perfect rhythm and all that stuff. And also there's a Norwegian guitar player called Marius Müller. He's probably not that known in America, but he was... He tragically died in a car accident, actually, 10 years ago or something. But he was also an amazing player with a really good note. And so I am inspired by Norwegian players, but mostly I'm not like that and that guitar player. I'm like, bands have influenced me. I get influenced by good, you know, good songs and stuff like that, and I'm just to me it's just important to write a good song, or, you know, to have the rhythm playing being good as the soloing. So I guess I want to do everything right, you know, not I'm more focused about the melodies and having a good song instead of playing as fast as Yngwie Malmsteen, for example.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, your solos, you can hear that in your solos. You play with a lot of feeling, and they're very tasteful. I mean, there's some good ripping parts, but there's a lot of feeling, and you can hear the different influences of, you know, maybe in a Van Halen or maybe a little bit of blues, and then some more proggier type solo, like maybe a Petrucci, yeah, somebody like that. So very tasteful, man. I'm such a fan of your playing.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm very happy. I think that it has more. I tend to like the players who can, you know, not give 110%, you know, when it comes to speed and how many notes you can play at the same time, because it gets so intense all the time. So I think it has maybe a much better. I mean, if you start off and have a really nice melody. I mean, people like good melodies and have a good tone and feeling, you know, that you, if I'm able to, you know, like you get the hair stands on your arms, you know, because you hear a nice melody and then also, you know, have some really cool chops and some cool riffs. I mean, I can play fast as hell if I want to, but I don't think it's cool to do it all the time. So I try to have a mix, you know, it's like I try to talk with the guitar in a way, you know. It's like a singer, you know, builds up the vocal lines. He can't just, you know, a lot of vocalists just scream all the time. But, you know, the really good ones, you know, they have, like Jorn Lande, for example, to just talk about an amazing singer that I've played with. You know, he has a lot of feeling and he gives a lot of power when he has to, but it's just as good, you know, when he's just really, you know, down to earth and you know sing with the feeling and stuff. So yeah.
Well, Jorn, since you brought up Jorn Lande, I had to ask you. I know you left a few years back, and I think it was due to the schedules between Pagan's Mind and what Jorn had going on. Is there any thought that you guys might connect in the future? I mean, your songwriting together was amazing, as well as your playing on his records. Have you all ever talked about maybe doing a side project at some point?
No, we haven't. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Jorn, and he has a lot of respect for me. We have never had any disagreements or anything like that. It was just like you said, it came to a point where we got a lot of gigs with Jorn, and also at the same time got a lot of gigs with Pagan's Mind, and just couldn't be at two places at the same time. I have to say, maybe that band has grown into a direction which I normally wouldn't want to take it. I loved the mix. The Jorn band that I loved was a mixture between, you know, hard rock and heavy metal, that you had, you know, not just the very slow Black Sabbath kind of style, you know, mm-hmm. but you had more, you know, rock and roll songs as well. As I think, for example, that the Duke album is a really cool album. You have a perfect mixture of, you know, heavy metal and classic hard rock, I think he wanted more later years to have more, you know, very slow, like to sound like Dio or, you know, Black Sabbath all the time. Maybe some of the new songs are actually really cool, and his new guitar player Trond Holter, I'm actually a big fan of him. I remember growing up, he played in a band called Dream Police, and he was a kick-ass guitar player, and he still is. And so Jorn is lucky to have him on board, but I wish they would write better songs.
Well, you know, so yeah. I gotta agree with you, and I'm not just because we're talking, but the material that you were doing with him at that time, to me, I thought that was his stronger stuff. And since you've left, I to me, there's a missing piece out of it. I think it's y'all songwriting, because y'all were such a good team there, as far as the melodies. Yeah. Like you said, more of a kind of a hard rock. And I think we talked to Jorn one time, but I know he was a huge Dio fan. And with Dio leaving, I don't know if he was kind of filling the void by taking more of a Sabbath approach or not. I don't know. but
I think so, and I think also, I mean, if I've been following, I first time I heard you in London was in 1994. You played in a band called Vagabond. They released a couple of albums. It was fantastic stuff. I mean, at that time, most of the music scene, you know, it was the grunge and stuff, and that was something else. They were more progressive and mixing a little progressive and hard rock style, and then he sounded more like John Fram, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, with more AOR kind of approach to his singing, and I think that he grew up, and he was so, I mean, he's one of those people, just God was just pointing at him and just saying that you're gonna have something that no one else have, and he definitely has. I mean, he can sing the Whitesnake songs better than David Coverdale himself, and he can sing really heavy stuff, you know, like he did with the example Twilight, and he do the Dio stuff really good. He can do so much, and I think that growing up he wanted to show everything, and then he got a lot of, you know, bad feedback for sounding like David Coverdale. I think that he didn't want, you know, have that stamp, so he was more kind of going that, you know, except towards the way that Dio was singing, he's just a huge, enormous talent that could do that can do a lot of different stuff. So I would just hope that he starts again to bring more of that variety, you know, as he has as a singer into the songwriting, because he can. I mean, if you listen to World Changer, for example, I wasn't involved in that album at all, and it's a fantastic album, hard rock album, and you know, it's a mixture between hard rock and more extreme style and everything. So I think also it's a decision from his point that he just had wanted to play heavy metal. He doesn't want to sound like four or five different styles of music or something. He wanted to kind of just do the very heavy metal thing. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I getting back to the full circle, now the title makes much more sense to me now. It's a great mix, and I really I'm not usually the biggest fan of live albums in general, but this album sounds really good, and the package itself is beautiful. I mean, you got our favorite space chick on the cover there with the star.
Yeah,
I think that's great, and it makes me think. I guess this may have been asked before, kind of a stupid question, but I guess is there meant to be a direct underlying connection between all of the albums that feature that sort of theme on it?
I think at first it was a bit, because on album on Infinity Divine, Slash Legends, Enigmatic Calling, God's Equation, all those four covers were Nils, our singers. He did all the artwork on that, on those songs. He is also the one, you know, with a he's the one, you know, who created the image of Pagan's Mind, you know, the he writes the lyrics, and he is very into this sci-fi and very into alternative stuff. He's, you know, questions a lot of, I'm sure he thinks a lot of times, you know, why am I really here, you know, and he thinks about a lot of stuff like that, and he writes about those stuff, and the thing with the goddess has been, I mean, the previous album, Heavenly Ecstasy, I'm not sure why Nils didn't make the cover of that one, but it's more now we have had Rent that in people who has done that, and maybe he just I guess he just didn't want or felt inspired or whatever to do those other covers. I'm not actually sure why it happened, but on Heavenly Ecstasy we It was a guy who I don't remember his name, but he was paid to do the artwork. And on the new one, it's the Garvin Bakker in a, that kid I was talking about in
oh, really?
Cooperation with the designer, you know, who has asked for that kind of cover that we did now. But I know that Nils think that the cover on Full Circus. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And it is, but it's basically built on all of Neil's earlier ideas, you know. So,
cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. Jorn, before we let you go, can you tell us about the new studio release you guys are working on material for now, and when do you expect it to come out?
I really, really hope that, I would be sad if we don't have an album out within 2016. We have been working for a long time, but a lot of times things have happened in between the previous album and this album. A bit of changes in people's life and, you know, stuff like that. And we are very loyal to each other, so we don't, change the drummer or the singer or guitar player or anything like that. So it's been just a natural break that we've had, I guess. But we've been writing all along, and we have a lot of stuff lying. And one thing is for sure, that Pagan's Mind will never release an album just to release an album. The album will come when it's good enough, when the songs are, you know, really good. But we have a lot of good stuff now, so we have said no now to doing gigs the next half year, and we will just have focus on finishing the new album. So hopefully. In 6 months, we're done with all the writing, and then it will just be record the last stuff, and that we'll get it out on the market within, 1 year from now.
Nice. I can't wait. Well, Jorn, before we let you go today, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Honestly, I'm extremely thankful for all the people that, are into our music. I think we have, it's not just something that I say. I mean, we have very loyal fans. They come to see us over and over again when we go on tour, and they're really into our music and what Pagan's Mind is all about. And what I want to say is that, have patience and wait for the album, because the reason it takes time is just we really just don't want to disappoint our fans, you know. When the album comes, it will be kick ass and killer. So I just want to thank for all the support, and we'll do our best to still give you a honest, good music experience, you know, listening to our music.
Well, Jorn, we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on therighttorock.com. And we want to tell all the fans to go check out Pagan's Mind, Full Circle, out on Steamhammer, SPV. This thing is awesome. So congratulations, Jorn, and thanks again, man. It was very nice talking to you today.
Yeah, thank you, and likewise, nice talking to you guys as well. And thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate that you support us and put us on your show.
Thanks for listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show. We hope you check out our website at therighttherock.com, where you can find music and video reviews, along with occasional bits of other metal and beer-related info. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Our shows post on a regular schedule, but we average a couple a month, so feel free to leave a review and tell your friends so we can spread the word. But above all, please check out the artists we play on the show, and support good music wherever you find it by buying it from your favorite merchants, which definitely includes the amazing Tracy G, we love you brother, who writes all of our original theme music. You can find him online at TracyG.com, so check him out. Well, that's it, and there it is. I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, reminding you to drink good beer, support good music, and keep those horns up.